Happy Thanksgiving. It's great to be here the week before Thursday's coming. I hope you have a wonderful time at your Thanksgiving dinners this year. It is a wonderful day for us to be as family together. And I hope as we look at this week, it is a wonderful time to remember what we are thankful for. We know in terms of issues within our community and in our world and in our nation, be it economy or other things, it may be a difficult year, but it's always important to know what we are thankful for. Even if times are lean, even if things are really tough, even if we've had losses in our life, God blesses us with things. And we know when we know that, life is different. And we see God in different ways. But also after this Thanksgiving season begins an interesting time for us as a culture, does it not? We enter into Advent. Do you remember what Advent is? Do any of you remember Advent? You know, it's that season that goes right along the shopping season. Just so you know. And I love Thanksgiving. I've always loved it. From the time I was a kid, we played football with the cousins at Thanksgiving Day after turkey. From times we have with our children, our family today. But you know, tell you, I'm a little conflicted about this season often. You know, as soon as Thanksgiving is over, Friday, what's Friday called coming up? Black Friday. And the reason it's called that is we're supposed to hit the malls, and I'm not sure what all we're supposed to do. But it's the beginning of a season in which we are encouraged to ante up, to give it up, to spend, consume. And we have heard for years, but also we even hear now, that it's good for our economy to consume, right? It's a burden to us. We got to spend. I heard an amen from the front row there. Would somebody check his ID? I think he snuck in. We are encouraged to do that because somehow us getting rid of our money helps other people around us. And I can understand that. But isn't there something at its core problematic about that? I also love this season for the Christmas things we are about to do. For the time when we celebrate the story of a child. The story of a God who came to us and gave us the essence of who God is. Not in some huge, great, awesome way, but in a small child that we all can have access to. And the glory of that. We do know this year may be a little different for some. We've spoken the last few weeks about the economy and how certain major corporations are struggling. We've heard that in the news this week. We know there are questions about our financial system as it is now, both within our country and in our nation. And those things are real. Even as a church, we talk about issues of hope and faith. You want to deal with real things. There is a real sense of crisis in our economy. There is a real sense of crisis sometimes in our attitudes. Crisis in our faith, who and what we trust in the economic system, but also what do we trust in our life. But as we think about these times, as we think about what it means for us perhaps to struggle and perhaps to even be in crisis, I know that times of crisis are also times of opportunity for us to look again at who we are and what we are about. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean to trivialize or minimize people who have struggles economically or other ways. I have shared with you sometimes in my life when I've had struggles, and I know how hard family issues can be sometimes. I have shared with you when my father got laid off and economic times, how hard those can be. I'm not trying to trivialize it and say, oh, just buckle up and get on with it. But they are opportunities for us to grow in ways of love and grace. They are. They truly are. Difficulty can lead to us stepping further in growing in love for each other and in love for God. We know that in so much other stuff. We have some weightlifters in the room, don't we, who like to work out with weights? How do you build more muscle? You lift until what happens? It's broken down. It's in crisis. That's why it hurts. But when it rebuilds, what happens? It is stronger. We know that from our own bodies. When I was a student in school, you know, when we had midterms or finals, that was crisis for me. How about you? I mean, you know, I was never good at tests. It just killed me. Or when I had a big paper due the next day, it was a crisis for me. I had to really buckle down and I had to push and say, man, I don't want to do this. I mean, it was tough. But when I did it, I truly gained a grade, which is sometimes all I wanted. I hate to confess that. But also, it was a time when I learned more. On those times of crisis. We also know in terms of growing spiritually. When we have crisis in our life, it is a time when we truly do turn to each other and turn to God. Jesus, in his teaching about his own death, says, you know, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will not grow. It will not grow. And so as we think about struggling in difficult times in our life and in our community, what if we also saw it as a time of opportunity to look in ways of growing in faith? And there is no better time than the times when we celebrate what is central to our Christian faith. Easter is the biggest time for us, but second is December 25th. An opportunity for us to truly grow spiritually, to truly grow in love with Christ, to truly grow and celebrate who He is, because it is a glorious story we hear today. John tells us that the Word was made flesh and the glory of the Lord came in that and came to us. And think about the story that we celebrate. The God of creation, the God of creation sent a Son. A part of His own being, a part of His own self, to teach us, to love us, and to lead us. The God of creation itself, out of the grace and mercy from which God is, didn't want us to live in confusion, to not forget that His saving grace for us, because we had forgot, we were doing different things wrong. He sent His Son that we might know His mercy, and might know that love and that grace and that saving grace of God is absolutely available to all. God's grace is ours. And we hear that beautiful story about a mother who struggled with a pregnancy. And man, that has to be tough. But think about the glory of that story. We hear about a father who suddenly, you know, his fiance is expecting a child. What do you do with that? But that glorious story of how he responds to God and does that. We hear the wonderful story of working class shepherds in the field, scratching and burping like we know shepherds did. But the glory of the Lord came to these guys. And how awesome that story is. We hear a wonderful story of foreigners, wise men, who were given that sight of a star in the sky, that we might know the glory that God is for all people, not just some. And we hear that glorious story, and it is amazing for us. Christmas is an amazing time for us to remember those things of God in loving celebration with each other, to recapture our imagination of how hope might be part of our life and grace and love might be part of our world. Give ourselves to the glory of God. That is not, I repeat, that glory is not found just in the fancy things of this world or the acceptable people in this world, but in the rock solid love that is eternal. An amazing, glorious story that we can savor and take in. That we can savor like a good meal, like a good steak. That we can savor and take in. This weekend, we were with some friends in Chicago and went to one of the big steakhouses in Chicago. And I didn't get steak, just so you know. The heart issues, and I got fish, and I got made fun of. You're at a steak place, and you're getting fish? What's wrong with you? But the steaks that were prepared and put on the table, I mean, you could smell the aroma. You could see what the cook had done with that. It was a wonderful thing to watch them, even though I couldn't partake. It was a wonderful thing, and I was envious, as you can hear me talk in my voice right now, but it was a wonderful thing to see, you know, a cook who chose a piece of meat, who did what he needed to do, who lightly touched it or seared it, and the presentation on the plate, you know, just a wonderful that those people could see and to take in, because you know. Because have any of you ever had a really good steak? Have any of you ever had a really good steak? Yes.
Pastor Bill.
Yes, sir.
I expected applause. And I heard that you were giving a sermon about the perfect steak. I've been learning how to prepare steaks for decades now. Decades. I searched the nation trying to find the perfect piece of meat for you. And I spent countless dollars finding the right spices to put in the marinade. And when I finally did that marinade, I marinated for just the right time so that you could figure out what the perfect steak tasted like.
Yes. It's mine?
Yes.
Now?
Yeah, right now.
I can have it right now?
Right now.
Well, I didn't have much breakfast this morning, so I don't know. Would you mind if I, you know, look what happened to have here. I can't believe that. Oh, I can't. Look at this, the perfect steak. You know, I missed it the other night. I can't wait to have it now. Oh, it's juicy and heavy. Oh, but just a minute.
What? What are you doing? I've made this great gift for you, and you put ketchup on it?
I like ketchup. Do you want a piece? Let's thank Ian for his. Think about it. Man, I didn't expect you to scream when I put the ketchup on it, but you guys went nuts. Woo! You're alive today. Think about it. The awesome story God gives us. The awesome gift God gives us in the season of a, you know, beginning that journey with us in grace that we might know the saving graces of God. We know the awesome story of how that the glory of the Lord came to people in the sky, from stars, from angels singing. Think about it, how we can come today and then we have this wonderful story and this wonderful thing that we can savor. And we give in to the culture and we do this to the season of Christmas. Isn't it? Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? And what a shame that is. You know, we get a story of giving. You know, the wise men came, traveled so far because they saw a sign in the sky that God was about something really important and we need to see this and we need to give to that. And so we have that tradition of gift giving to each other. And we have the awesome tradition of giving from God. God gave a son. And so we have that tradition that says we give out of what God is doing. We give out of love and grace for each other. And what do? We get that gift that we can savor and take in, and then we give in to something called consumerism. And we lather it on. And I'm starting to not see what's under there. We take the serenity of the manger. You know, when we have all kinds of pictures and plays and times when Mary and Joseph came to the stable where they had baby Jesus in a manger and the serenity of the star there, the serenity of a mother and a child there. We take the serenity of time when we can encounter God and take some quiet time, some time alone or even time with family when we are intentional about it. We take that time in which we can really engage God and grow in grace for our struggles as well as for our gifts. And we take it and what do with it? We busy ourselves up with things that we're not even sure why we're doing anymore. Because we've lost what the season is about. And then we take. We take the glory of God. We take that gift of the Christ child. That ultimate gift of hope and faith for us as a Christian people. That ultimate gift of hope and faith for our future in how we live our lives and give our lives. That ultimate gift of hope and faith for humankind that we can share with others. And we let go of it. And instead of having our faith and our trust in what God is doing and loving each other, we put our faith and our trust in a lifestyle. In the things of this world. And we say those are what's important. And by the time we are done with that, there is, you cannot see anything left of what Christmas may be about. The savor's gone. All you got's red food coloring now. How is it we've got there? How is it we let others do that to us? Let me ask you to think about three things this week. First of all, When you think about what you're going to do this Christmas, I want, however you want to do this, there are formal ways to do this, and you can find booklets on how to do this, or there are informal ways. But I want you to do, for the next month, do a time audit. How are you going to spend your time? How are you going to spend your time? And how are you going to effectively use your time to celebrate Jesus' birth with your family, with your church, and with those who you know and love? And if you see something coming in your time for this season that you think is just a distraction, it's just catch-up, then reconsider it. Let it go. And do something that really will connect you to God and those that you love. Secondly, and this is a hard one to say, we always have issues with this when it comes to this. Do a time audit, but also look at your spending. I'm in trouble now, right? More trouble than when I put the ketchup on the steak. Look at your spending. And there is something to be said for not spending as much. I agree. And I know some people have no gift Christmases, and I think that's a wonderful idea. Not for all, but I think in some ways that's a wonderful idea. And I do know we spend too much and get too little, like the prophet says today. You spend your money for that which is not bread that does not feed you. That's our Christmas season almost, isn't it? So there is something to be said for spending less. However, ask this question. Where does your spending or gift giving truly show friendship, love, and appreciation to those around you? And where does your spending in this season find itself pleasing to the eyes and the ears of God? Make that be a focus of your spending and a focus of your giving. And be intentional about it. And that may mean you spend more. Okay? You make that decision. You make that decision. Finally, I ask you this. Third thing. Time audit, spending audit. Third thing. And this should be the easiest. But y'all have a Bible? Can I get an amen? Amen. Y'all have a Bible? And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books of the Gospels. John, the beginning of the book, the Christmas story, that's what you heard in John today. The Word became flesh. Mark kind of jumps into the story because he wants to know what Jesus is doing right away. Matthew and Luke tell us the story. Matthew tells us the story mostly focusing on Joseph. Luke tells us the story mostly focusing on Mary. Read those again. That's all I'm asking. Yourself, devotional time, read them again. Before the culture gets all the other stories within our hearts and minds, before we are running into that stuff that's going to catch us up for the season, read the story for yourself and ask God to bless you in that and see where it leads you. I'm not going to tell you, but see where God leads you in you knowing the story, you knowing the glory, you knowing what God intended for us. Read it again because we all need reminders. So time audit, where do you spend your money? And read the Christmas story for yourself. Let's bow for prayer.